You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.
Welcome to today's live talk. I am your host, Keith Martin. This week, the Corrections Connection News Network looks at reentry and the numerous issues and challenges awaiting ex-offenders coming back to the community. Today, we will be speaking with Robert Carty, Deputy Director of Operations for Treatment Alternatives for Safe Communities, or TASC, in Chicago, about the combined challenge of reintegrating to the community while also trying to stay drug and alcohol free. As a Deputy Director at TASC for the past 4 years, Bob's duties include the design and implementation of reentry programs in Illinois for men, women, and juveniles who are also recovering from substance abuse problems. In addition, he provides administrative oversight for a program called Restoring Citizenship, which involves a peer-led group called the Winner's Circle. Bob is also a licensed clinical social worker and a certified criminal justice addictions professional with more than 25 years of experience in social services. Welcome to today's Live Talk, Bob.
Thank you very much, Keith. It's an honor to be here.
Pleasure to have you. Now, pardon me, there are numerous issues facing an offender reintegrating into community, from finding a job, from finding a place to live, to simply getting a state ID. How does substance abuse recovery further complicate the issue of reentry?
Well, very often for individuals who are in an early phase of their recovery from substance abuse, there's a number of additional stressors. I've been in the field of substance abuse counseling for a little more than 20 years, and one thing that we often told folks is that recovery is very simple. You just have to change everything in your life. So what we find is people really talk about certainly having to make new relationships because a lot of their old relationships were folks who were using substances. We talk about having to change people, places, and things. Some of those things are even just kinds of things that you think about. So it really requires making some massive changes. And while people have been locked up for some time and then coming out in early recovery, there's so many new ways that they have to try to think and respond. In addition, one thing I want our listeners to keep in mind is that when people have stopped using drugs and alcohol, in many ways they've stopped using their primary coping mechanism, and some people may even call it their best friend. So there's a certain amount of grief that they're in, so there's sort of a cycle of sort of confusion and just trying to see what this new world is all about. So there's a lot of struggles in that way, that, you know, that they might not feel for a while that they're really on solid ground.
Hmm. Now, discuss what you call the double stigma facing these individuals battling both their recovery issues as well as their reentry issues.
Yeah, to look at the double stigma, I really like to first take a look at them individually, each stigma individually, and then show what the combination of those two mean to someone. Certainly when we're taking a look at substance abuse, there's a strong stigma in our society. I think much of this has its kind of historic roots in viewing alcoholism and drug addiction really as moral weaknesses, that the user is too weak-willed. Some people can use alcohol, for example, so there are social drinkers out there who have no problem, you know, picking up a drink and putting down a drink, so they don't quite see why someone can't just control their use. In this field, I think we've come to help the public understand, for example, that the typical alcoholic is not the street wino, which we used to think about maybe some 20, 30 years ago.
Right.
It's very often someone who certainly might be functioning, holding down a job, having a family, but in many more subtle ways, their life's coming out of control. And as they continue to drink, their life becomes even more out of control. So that's that side of thing. And I think the public still tends to get their images from the media, and the images of someone who's maybe a chronic relapser, someone who's still kind of caught in their addiction. And when we think of someone who's an addict, we rarely think of someone who's a recovering addict. We really think of someone in the using side. So that's that side of the stigma. When we take a look at the ex-offender, I think that there's really a parallel process going on there. because I think very often when we look at the ex-offender, we still really kind of look at the person as a criminal, someone who's been found guilty and has done some time in an institution for that. And very often, instead of looking at a chronic relapser, we have that image of the chronic recidivist. And that's not to say that there aren't some high recidivism rates, but there are a lot of people who do come out and never go back in. And I think we fail to recognize that and fail to recognize what keeps some people successful. There's a phrase that's sort of been around for a long time that, well, you did the crime, so now you have to do the time.
Right.
A lot of the ex-offenders find that that's really a fallacy because they feel that even though they've done their time, they're back in the community, but it's as though everyone's looking around and still sees an X on their back, and that X is for ex-offender. So they feel like the clock has never stopped ticking. And that's stigma. And then when it moves to the point of making it more difficult for people to have jobs, more difficult to get into, for example, public housing. Here in Chicago, folks can't get into public housing if they're an ex-offender. In a sense, that really starts turning from stigma even to discrimination. So when you put those two stigmas together for the recovering person who's newly out of a correctional center, you really see that there could be a number of roadblocks put in the lives of people who really are trying to do the right thing and get their lives better.
Definitely. Now, we've established that, you know, there are all these internal things going on for these ex-offenders, and obviously there's the point of view from the community and from other people. Where does a program like Winner's Circle, something that you're very familiar with, mm-hmm. fit in, and how can it help this population deal with all of those issues that we just discussed?
Yeah, I'd like for the listeners to just have a brief overview of what Winner's Circle is so they're even familiar with it. Winner's Circle is actually a peer support group that developed some years ago. Actually, it developed, the first one was out in Connecticut in 1988. That model was then used in Texas in the early 90s. And Illinois, actually, we were down viewing some of the institutions and what they were doing in Texas, and we found the model and brought it to Illinois and started using it in 1997. Winner's Circle is basically, as a peer support group, say like AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, or NA, Narcotics Anonymous, really is basically about one substance abuser helping another stay drug-free. What Winner's Circle also helps, though, is since people share that common experience of having to be an ex-offender, they also can share that part of their life with them. And that's an important piece because very often when folks walk into their AA meeting or NA meeting for the first time, it's really quite a struggle to come out and say, hello, my name is George and I'm an alcoholic. When they're also just coming out of a correctional center with that double stigma we were talking about earlier, it's even a little more difficult to kind of say, I'm George, I'm a drug addict, and I just got out of a correctional center. So in a sense, when they come to Winner's Circle, they recognize there are people just like them, and they have a chance to feel more comfortable, share who they are and what they're going through, and by being able to share that, they can share those challenges of reentry that they're facing right now that give them a chance to then get some help from it. Because if you don't name it, if you don't name what you need and what you're working on, you're not going to be able to get help on it. So they can get help there.
That's an excellent point about identifying the need. If you're just joining us, if you're just tuning in, we are talking to Robert Carty of Treatment Alternatives for Safe Communities, or TASC, about reentry and recovery. And we just introduced the topic of Winner's Circle. Now, Bob, if you could, take the listeners and I through a typical Winner's Circle meeting and what happens and how the peer-to-peer interaction really helps the participants.
Well, in a typical Winner's Circle meeting, folks will be coming together, and we have them really all around Illinois. We'll talk about that a little later. And they're in a number of different locations. Some of them are in some of our task offices. Some of them are in some churches locally. So we have a range of different settings. Someone would come in and see a group of other people, anywhere from maybe about half a dozen people to some of our larger meetings may have 30 or 40 people in them. And there's a structure. There's a welcoming. We all sit around in the circle so that we can see one another. There's really a a sense of family that comes together in that. And basically what happens is there's some readings that are done first to help people have some sense of what they're there for. For example, I read very briefly a preamble that we use for the newcomer. We say, when your heart is heavy and your resistance low, you can find comfort in sharing with true and understanding friends. You are never alone. Let's cultivate an attitude of openness and honesty with others. It's a safe place to be. So it sets a tone and it helps people start having a sense that it's safe to talk about what's going on. It's a chance to connect with one another. And through that safety and connection, there's a certain amount of trust that builds and allows people to share on deeper and deeper levels. In many ways, what happens is as these members come together, it breaks the isolation that addicts very often feel alone, and it provides really a setting in which people can get real with one another. The best functioning groups really support one another, but they also know when to challenge one another too. If they think that someone's just kind of sitting and whining, they're going to let someone know about that and let them know that there's things that they can do to get out there. I think the other thing that happens for the peer-to-peer interaction that you're talking about
right.
is that new members really get a chance to find some role models among the Winner Circle leaders, because here's someone who's kind of walked the very path that they've walked, but they're a little further down the path, so they have a chance to really help serve as a guide as to what this whole thing about reentry and recovery is.
Right, and I think that gets back to your earlier point about if they had gone to just an AA meeting, for example, that sure they could identify with the substance abuse side of things, but in terms of the ex-offender reentry part, that this is something that Winner Circles provides, that it provides them with those role models.
Exactly.
Now,
and they don't feel so alone then.
Exactly. Now, in your own opinion, and obviously from what you've seen, why does Winner's Circle work? What are some of the elements that make this an effective program?
There's a few different things that I guess I'd like to touch on that. One is I think that there's a strong theoretic base to it. Some listeners might be thinking, well, this just sounds like a group of people who come together and talk, and
right.
that's it. But actually, it goes beyond that. Winner's Circle is a model that's really based on the principles of therapeutic communities, which is a substance abuse treatment model very often found in prisons. And really because a number of the pieces of therapeutic community focus on the individual as getting into problems in the past because he or she didn't accept full responsibility in their lives. So it's a model about accountability. It's a model about really respecting authority. It's also a model of recognizing that there are certain right values in our society, and by not living those right values, we have gotten into trouble. And that by coming to recognize the importance of living those and really working not only as an individual but as an entire group or a community working on that, it really helps people stay in recovery. So that's actually, there's a lot of research that's been done on this model and sees that it works, especially for the population we're talking about. In addition to the theory, it's also real practical. I have seen many circles, and if someone's coming in saying they're struggling finding a job, all of a sudden folks around the circle say, well, Joe, come on over to my place. They're taking applications. I'll put in a good word for you. We also have a clothing closet. If someone needs some clothes to even have the right kind of clothes to go in for a job interview, after the meeting they can go in and pick out some clothes and take it home with them. It's theirs. So there's some real practical approaches. The last thing is I find that it's a model that's very flexible. While it was initially developed for adult men, over the years we've made some adjustments in order to fit the needs of women in recovery. So we do here in Chicago have a women's only group, and we also have some groups for juveniles. So there's a number of pieces that really help make it more flexible, so it's a model that's conducive to fitting what the individual needs.
That's great. Now, to give people kind of a scope of Winner's Circle in Illinois, how many groups are there in Illinois? And obviously, like you mentioned in the beginning of our live talk, this is something that you adapted from a program in Texas and Connecticut before. And how easily can someone duplicate this program?
I think it's actually quite easy to duplicate it. In a sense, we've been doing some of that here in Illinois. You mentioned during my intro restoring citizenship. This is a project that TASC and Winter Circle have come together to work on, and it's got a 5-year grant from the Center on Substance Abuse Treatment, CSAT. And basically, it has allowed us to grow from really just 3 meetings a week now to 12 meetings a week, with only about half of them in Chicago. We're also in Rockford, Illinois, Peoria, Maywood, Decatur, and a couple other downstate locations. So it's really allowed us to grow. It's allowed us to recognize that we can help support people's recovery in a number of ways. As for being able to duplicate it across the nation, with that CSAT funding, we have meetings in Washington, D.C. with the other grantees twice a year. And some of the grantees come from as far away as Anchorage, Alaska, or California, throughout the states. And actually, a number of folks are already taking a look at what they can do to bring a winner circle to them. Very often what it means is working closely with Department of Corrections, to if there's a state agency that oversees alcohol and substances, they can work with them too to let people know what's available. And actually, another good key is working with a local parole office, because the parole office will know who needs this kind of support. And if you can have the local parole office supporting this as a viable choice among self-help groups, you'll get more people coming on by and keep it going.
That is fantastic information for our audience, and obviously a great place to wrap up. That concludes today's live talk. Thank you again to Robert Cardi, Deputy Director for Treatment Alternatives for TASC in Chicago. Bob, thank you very much for joining
us today. Thank you, Keith. This is really a great time.
Excellent. And as usual, thank you to our audience as well for joining us today. Now, for more information on TASC and Winner's Circle as well, you can visit the TASC website at www.illinoistask.org. And as usual, be sure to read this week's articles on corrections.com for more on ex-offender reentry. For CCNN, I'm Keith Martin.
You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.